Violence against unicorns. Tazakiya Quest Chapter 3 continues.
That's the kind of little sweetheart that come.
Well.
Van and Emmy was flying across the desert to visit his girlfriend and become obviously disappointed.
Oh, right.
Actually, Sigourney says that he wants her to be able to trust him, so he's gonna come clean. He doesn't actually have a lion girlfriend. He was scared that she'd kill him if he told the truth. So when she came to that conclusion, he didn't correct her. He apologizes for concealing the truth. But he was actually on a scouting mission when he was shot down. He was too frightened to fight in battle. But when he joined the scouts, so his dad would be proud of him. But he can't even do that right.
So Connie doesn't actually have a lion girlfriend? Emil doesn't know how to feel about this.
Ask if he wants a lion girlfriend.
Emil nominates herself as a potential candidate. So Connie stammers. Emil says she'll take that as a yes. Emil can feel Sakani shivering. She tells him it's okay. His feathers are really soft.
Emil and Sakani don't say much for the next hour. She enjoys his company and warmth in mutual silence. Eventually, Sakani says that they should probably get to sleep. It takes them 20 more minutes to convince each other to let go long enough to do so. 10 paces. Creak, crack, thump, crash. Apparently, the flimsy wood used
to patch the hole was no match for the bunk bed. What little can be seen with the BIC's light reveals that this hole was not created by accident. There appears to be an entire underground room, but neither of them can see any details. There are several ledges that could be used to climb down.
Grab emergency lights and go spelunking.
Make sure Emil takes her gear in when they go down there, if not the actual suit.
Emil asks Sakani to hold the BIC, which contains the pencil light, should they opt to use it. And she grabs her deadly weapon, but decides not to put it on the clocking slot. She kind of wants to keep wearing Sakani's shirt a little longer. They climb down. Hastily drawn broken pieces of the bunk bed are strewn about. The cave appears to be man-made, or perhaps insect-made. The walls are kind of smooth and reflective. It's a little warmer in the cave than it was in the room above.
It's hard to see very far, but the cave appears to split in three directions, east, west, and north. Emil wonders aloud how the cave this place devours sand. Sakani mutters that this explains why the maintenance department never had time to clean under the carpet.
Screw the letter E, we're going north. Emil chose to go to the V. It thinks it's all big and bad. It thinks it's the most important in the alphabet. It thinks it is the shit. It is wrong. In fact, if she could, she would totally poison sting the fuck out of it. Grr. But alas, it's a lot harder to make any sense without it. One day, E. One day.
They venture north. On the ground there appears to be a strange symbol written in white chalk. There's also a light source, currently off, attached to where Emil guesses it's a generator. It's probably way too old to actually work, however.
Take a look at that there warning label.
It's aimed to one of electric shock in two languages. Emil starts to really enjoy the other language and its lack of certain letters until she catches one near the end. Damn, so close.
Zivalinsel, scratch out the last of wounding E.
Score one for the revolution.
Wisely opt not to fuck with the generator.
Emil decides to heed the warning. She has no desire to poke at the thing until it kills her.
Wisely opt to fuck with it.
Dutch,
Nothing happens. The power generator has lost its charge a long, long time ago.
The county looks like he really wants to ask her if she's freaking insane, but he says nothing. They've only been going out a few hours and all, she's already getting well trained.
Examine floor, is that a piece of chalk there?
It definitely is a piece of chalk. Emil examines the strange symbol, placing a hand on it in concentration. A blinding flash fills the room. A whirring noise is heard as the generator powers up. The light comes on. This is a very convoluted light switch.
What do you do with chalk and margins of switch?
Emil goes nuts dueling a bunch of creatures. Her being awesome, and Sakani and her being adorable. As Emil doodles, she notices a strange feeling, almost as if something's draining her slightly.
Grip open the generator and try to tell me what the fuck.
Sakani begs Emil to stop messing with the power generator. She definitely would not survive a shock from that thing.
Touch switch.
Touching the switch doesn't seem to cause anything else to happen. Emil feels momentarily tired as she takes her hand away. Sakani grabs the chalk and says he'll draw something really nice for Emil. As he touches the chalk down to the switch, a flashing light once again appears. Pop! The lamp is blown. Emil can't see a thing. Emil hears some heavy breathing. She asks if he's okay. He says he's fine. She really hopes he didn't pee himself again. Man, house training out to Zaki is a lot of work.
Make sure Sakani is fine and not acting mature.
Emil asks if he's sure he's okay. He says he feels extremely tired. Emil decides that it would probably be a bad idea to touch the vampire drone again.
Sure, man, this is clearly the work of magic.
The Goonie brings in the BIC so they can see again. Emil considers that all that they know and comes to the conclusion that Magica must be involved in this strange circle. The Goonie asks how that could be if Emil was able to activate it without being contaminated. She says she isn't sure. Maybe the chocolate has a small amount of Magica in it, and you have to act as a switch. It's possible the drawing on it sends so much power it needed to activate. Considering the fire Sakani was shooting out earlier, there's no doubt in Emil's mind that he's gained the use of Magica, thanks to whatever was injected into him. Come to think of it, she did have this weird sudden urge to kiss him earlier.
Check the room across the hall. The entrance is across the hall.
Emil decides to suck it up and head south, and then east. Oh god, there's definitely a magic beast here. It's hard to tell in this light, but Emil is pretty sure it's dead. There's no smell of decay, and the body looks like it hasn't been there very long.
Quickly, check the body for any signs of breathing or trauma.
Apply a deadly weapon directly to the forehead.
They approach cautiously. Emil read the fire the instant he saw what his twitches. It remains motionless. Further inspection confirms that it is dead, or at least doing a really good job of faking it. There are several burn wounds in specific spots on its body, as if it was electrocuted. It is very stiff, either from rigor mortis or from the apparent shock itself.
Inspect the rest of the room for anything once we determine if that thing's actually dead or not.
There doesn't seem to be anything else here. Magic beasts may not have a need to eat or drink, as there are no signs of food, water, or even waste. Just how long has this thing been down here? More importantly, was it alone? Emil is glad she brought her deadly weapon with her. There's no telling if the poison spines would have had any effect on these creatures.
Spinal Corps EY.
Emil is not quite barbaric enough to tear the corpse apart with her hands and or spines. Besides, she has a strange feeling Sakani wouldn't appreciate her eating it.
Since there's nothing else in the room, go back to the crossroads and go into the last room we've got to see. Ready the weapon and the alert for the other beasties.
I cautiously entered the final room. There doesn't seem to be much here besides yet another corpse. How many blue people died in this place?
Well, ye hollow exoskeleton has armor.
Well, isn't sure it'd be very effective. It's practically crumbling as she holds it. She puts it back at you exactly where it was.
What's the corpses of our half look like? Are there any other entrances or exits anywheres?
The lower half seems to be missing. As far as they can tell, there are no other exits from this room.
Does the fact of loose look with all B.I.C.?
Emil asks Akani to touch the B.I.C. to the blood. She sure hopes he finds our recent strange actions and requests cute and not crazy. There's a bright flash as the B.I.C. touches the dried blood. Dried blood has been added to the inventory. 9 out of 10 items in B.I.C.
Your funny tale to rip out Majibi's eye to take back to Grasshopper for inspection.
Where did Majibi's go?
Get the hell out of there. The Majibi's is still alive and blocking your only exit.
Remove my actions from Fook Dan, toss them over the ground, away from him.
Emil asks Akari to throw the food rations at it. He does so. The Magic Beast looks at it and pauses for a moment. Incoming sound.
Work!
It doesn't seem to be hungry.
Oh, we are the emergency line and deadly weapon.
Emil doesn't have the B.I.C., so she asks Sakani to bring out the emergency ventiline instead. Emil readies her deadly weapon, while Sakani quickly attempts to connect the wiring on the emergency pencil light. The Magic Beast lunges at them. Emil shoots at it with the deadly weapon. Her aim isn't perfect, so only manages to graze the beast. Emil is knocked down from the Magic Beast's tackle as it shoves Sakani aside. Sakani didn't have time to get the emergency light working. Her deadly weapon has been tossed out of reach. The B.I.C. deactivates. Having nobody keeping his light on, Emil's weapon was knocked away, but she's not defenseless. Lions have good tracking abilities, so Emil has a general idea of where creatures are if they are nearby. If she remains calm, she can get out of this alive. What should she do? Aim Dale spines at his eyes. Stab repeatedly. Emil stabs the Magic Beast and begins pumping it full of poison. This should at least slow its movements down, if not all out paralyze it. If you
incapacitate it, run the hell away.
Do a tad in that meme.
The Magic Beast rears back as the painful poison makes its way through the monster's system. Emil seizes his opportunity to get out from under it.
Get out to Sakani. We need him to grab everything so we can get the hell out of Dodge.
Emil calls to Sakani, but there's no response. It's possible he was knocked out.
If the gun can be found quickly, shoot it dead in the noggin.
Emil desperately searches the ground for her deadly weapon. It's coming.
Run for the exit. Make a lot of noise so it follows you. Lead it into the room across the hall with a generator and a light switch.
Emil flees, taunting the Magic Beast so it will follow her. She briefly thinks back to her training days. Nighttime hunting was something she was always pretty good at. But even then, she still had the stars providing something. In this pitch black, she has nothing but her memory and the mild glow of the strange symbol to guide her. The beast is right behind her. What should she do now?
Crouch in front of generator, prepare combat operandi, Cooper evasion.
Stand in the front of the generator.
Insult its mother. Emil crouches in front of the generator. As the Magic Beast enters the room, she proceeds to insult its mother. Wait, do Magic Beasts even have mothers? You throw the magic beast falls for it and runs headfirst into the generator. It seems to be stunned. However, nothing else happens. That's right. The generator was deactivated, wasn't it? Emil can't get it to trigger herself. There has to be some way to
lure the beast into the symbol.
Wait, that's it. Emil grabs one of the magic beast's tentacles and touches it to the light switch. Emil quickly hops away as a blinding flash enters the room. The monster roars in agony as it feels the very electricity that courses through its body. It is reduced to a strange pile of glowing ash. Well, there's no denying the fucker's dead now. Emil has won.
Go back to the cave where Sakani is and see if he's mobile yet.
That won't be necessary, as Sakani appears after a moment. Leave Emil alone. Where'd the magic beast go? Emil cleans the blood from her tail as she explains about how she completely and utterly owned the magic beast. Sakani seems amazed. There's a look in his eyes that Emil has not seen before. She, of course, acts like it's no big deal. Yeah, she killed a huge monster barehanded. Pshaw.
Collect the remains of the BIC without touching them.
The BIC now contains the magic beast remains. 10 out of 10 items held.
Kiss a canny in a hard-boiled manner.
Emil realizes what the look in Sakani's eyes was. Up to this point, there was a small doubt nagging in the back of her mind that Sakani was just trying to save her feelings by not turning down her advances. But at that moment, she could tell that he has become smitten. Being completely awesome does that sometimes. Emil obtains the pencil from the ball of infinite containing. Emil places the pencil in her mouth like a cigarette. Puff. Flick. Kissing someone who has a beak is a little awkward, but that doesn't stop somebody as hard-boiled as Emil.
Back to the boiler, Sancho.
She's showing off her Tazakian language skills.
Search harder. Make absolutely sure that there isn't another place for those yorks to come down here.
Go back up to the bunker. Maybe die for some Z's if nothing else goes wrong.
They scour the place but find nothing else. Unless Magic Beast can go through walls, which is too terrifying a thought to even consider, they should be safe. Sakani giggles as Emil calls him Sancho. She assumes he found her accent cute. They head back to the bunker. They are both exhausted from their ordeals, but the remaining adrenaline keeps them from going immediately to bed. They sit in silence for a moment. Emil thinks about all that has transpired that day. Emil is right. She may never get a chance to tell her mother this, but she is right. Her mother went insane after her father's death. She blamed the Tazakians for everything, calling them monsters. But it was Emil's father company that was attacking them. The Tazakians were only defending themselves. No, it's the war that killed her father. She always hated the war, and when she was drafted, she did everything in her power to end up on Homeworld Defense. Tazakians rarely attacked from the ground, so her squad mostly worked on felling desert beasts. It was the only way to help her country without participating in the mass murder of humanoid life. Her thoughts are interrupted by Sakani's voice.
I wish I was as strong like you, Emil.
He is so incredibly cute. She reminds him that he has saved her life twice, if they count stopping her from being electrocuted, and he acted really bravely just now. Despite being afraid, he picked up her deadly weapon and was ready to save her a third time. She continues to say that in all her life,
She had never met a lion who showed as much bravery as Sakani did despite his fear. He is strong, and he should never forget that. Sakani shivers as she tells him this. He must not be used to being complimented. He says she's the first girl you ever told him
he was worth anything. She tells him that if nobody else has seen his strength, then that's just their loss and her gain. A few more moments pass. Emil knows she's getting pretty cold. She says they should sleep extra close tonight for warmth.
Won't your spines hurt me?
Only if you want them to. Chapter 3, Risen Stakes, end. End of part 3, thanks for reading. By the way, Slinkle Boy is the naughtiest little girl I've ever seen.